This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And now it's time for Popit Popit Parliament, where we bring you the Dewan Rakyat updates.
So first up, the issues of salaries for police officers was brought up. This came from a question by Tanjung Malim MP Chang Lee Kang, and Deputy Home Minister Ismail Mohamed Syed revealed that the minimum starting salary for junior officers and support constables is 1,220 ringgit. That excludes allowances and other incentives. That's the latest salary structure since 2016.
Kerajaan pada tahun 2016 telah menambah baik struktur gaji dan skim perkhidmatan polis diraja Malaysia selaras dengan perkelilin perkhidmatan bilangan 2 tahun 2016 di bawah rasionalisasi skim perkhidmatan PDRM bagi Sistem Saraan Malaysia atau SSM. Menerusi perubahan ini, struktur gaji anggota PDRM ditambah baik berdasarkan pariti dengan skim-skim perkhidmatan lain yang berkaitan. Pada masa ini, gaji terendah bagi anggota polis adalah sebanyak RM1,220 iaitu gaji permulaan minimum bagi pegawai rendah polis dan konstabel sokongan kemasukan dengan menggunakan kelayakan akademik peringkat pentaksiran tingkatan 3 atau penilaian menengah rendah atau kelayakan yang setara dengannya. Jumlah tersebut adalah merujuk pada gaji pokok tanpa mengambil kira allowance dan insentif lain yang dibayar mengikut penugasan anggota.
Following on from that, Tumpat MP Datuk Che Abdullah Matnawi asked what was being done to help police officers overcome the issue of high housing rentals in cities, especially for those who don't live in police quarters. The Deputy Minister said that the government will consider adding providing additional housing assistance to support these officers.
Saya dah jelaskan tadi ada allowance perumahan RM300 dan juga allowance bantuan sehari hidup KOLA RM300, dan kita juga memikirkan untuk menambah lagi skim perumahan anggota polis di seluruh negara. Jadi kuarter-kuarter sama ada akan dibaik pulih, dinaik taraf, dan juga kita mengadakan kuarter-kuarter yang baru di seluruh negara. Terima kasih Yang Mohd Tan Sri Speaker.
That was Deputy Home Minister Ismail Mohamed Syed. And I would just like to reiterate there that what he mentioned is that it's a starting salary for junior officers and support constables in the police force of 1,220 ringgit, excluding allowances and incentives. What do you make of this amount? I mean, is it enough, you think? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Moving on, Jampol MP Dato' Salim Sharif asked what was being done to encourage delivery riders to sign up for SOCSO and the Employment Insurance Scheme. And Deputy Human Resources Minister Dato' Awang Hashim, who's from PAS, preceded his answer with a pantun about gambling, a nod to the ban in Kedah on 4D lottery shops.
Saya nak mulakan jawapan ini dengan izin saya akan mulakan dengan pantun. Orang berjudi, sikap haloba. Sikap tamak, amalan syaitan. Amalan judi, jangan dicuba. Bimbangnya kita pengikut syaitan. Amalan judi, perosak keluarga. Habis berpecah, tak boleh berpakat. Anak bangsa, siapa nak jaga? Apabila rosak, punah masyarakat. Balik pada soalan saya, individu
ini
yang menjalankan...
Echoing actually my thoughts, you could hear another MP interrupting him at the end to say, this is not Kedah. But anyway, back to the topic of SOCSO.
So, bringing it back to the day one, the Deputy Minister said that it's been mandatory as of October 1st for all delivery riders to register themselves under SOCSO. And he said beginning next year, the government will subsidise 80% of the cost of SOCSO for self-employed and gig workers, which means that some workers will only have to pay around 20 ringgit for coverage.
And this also benefits the family members of workers, right? So spouses are eligible to receive a pension for the rest of their lives. The education needs of their children will also be covered. Here's the Deputy Minister.
Orang yang bekerja sendiri ini di bawah Akta 789 bermula dengan caruman yang sangat rendah, iaitu bermula dengan 1 tahun RM157.20, 1 tahun RM232.80, yang mana kerajaan memberi insentif ataupun subsidi sebanyak 70% pada tahun ini. Dan kami dikhabarkan telah diputuskan bahawa tahun depan 2022 kerajaan memberi insentif 80% daripada 232.80 sen ini, kerajaan memberi insentif 80%. Hanya lebih kurang RM20, RM29 ke RM30 lebih akan dibayar oleh pencarum dalam masa setahun. Yang seterusnya kita ada lagi skim kita 442.80 sen yang memberi pelindungan sehingga ke isteri bila berlaku kemalangan jiwa dan sebagainya, dia melindung anak-anak, melindungkan isteri sehingga dia meninggal. Pencen ilat, dia panggil pencen penakat. Dan seterusnya anak-anaknya diberi juga pencen sehingga umur 18 dan belajar ke universiti juga diberi pelindungan oleh mereka yang mencarum dalam caruman ini.
That was Deputy Human Resources Minister Dato Awang Hashim talking about how it's been mandatory for delivery riders to register themselves under SOCSO and the kinds of protections that would provide. But here's the thing, right? That actually doesn't necessarily resolve the question or the issues that people have been bringing up for quite a while now, which is that the companies that employ these gig workers themselves need to be providing better coverage and better working environments for them.
Yes, and essentially by allocating the responsibility over to SOCSO, it further decentivizes the companies from actually doing so. And that's actually a criticism that's been made even from the very beginning, because of course the focus on gig workers and their welfare has been very much in the spotlight over the last year. And I remember that when this issue was announced, it is exactly this push and pull. On the one hand, there is a lot of there's a lot of relief, I think, that there is some form of coverage for gig workers. But there is also this question of then where is the corporate responsibility, right? So anyways, let us know what you think. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now moving on, there was a question by P. Prabhakaran Batu MP who asked if the government will table a Race Relations Act. Deputy National Unity Minister Wan Ahmad Faisal said this isn't necessary, and he said the existing law are already sufficient.
Tuan Yang Dipertua, pada masa ini undang-undang sedia ada sudah memadai kepada sesiapa yang dengan sengaja mencetuskan atau mengeluarkan sebarang kenyataan yang menggugat perpaduan dan keharmonian dengan izin hate speech terhadap rakyat, khususnya berkaitan isu perkauman, boleh disiasat dan didakwa di bawah akta-akta berikut. Yang pertama, Akta Komunikasi dan Multimedia Akta 588, iaitu kesalahan penggunaan tidak wajar kemudahan rangkaian atau perkhidmatan rangkaian. Dan di bawah Akta 574, di bawah Seksyen 506, 505 dan 504, kesalahan seperti menakutkan secara jenayah, kesalahan mengeluarkan kenyataan-kenyataan yang mendatangkan khianat awam, kesalahan dengan sengaja mengaitkan dengan niat hendak membangkitkan pecah keamanan. Dan semua ini membantu kita dari segi menangani isu-isu perkauman dalam talian. Dan di bawah Akta Hasutan 1988, ayat Akta 15, kesalahan menghasut juga boleh kita gunakan untuk mencegah dan tegah sebarang perkara yang boleh menimbul masalah perpaduan di negara kita. Justru kementerian ini berpendapat tiada keperluan untuk menggubal satu undang-undang seperti Undang-Undang Keharmonian Kaum, Race Relations Act, yang mana undang-undang sedia ada selari dengan konsep keluarga Malaysia yang mementingkan integrasi nasional, kesatupaduan, keharmonian, persefahaman dan kestabilan.
So Moa MP Syed Saddiq then asked a follow-up question on whether the government intends to revive the Biro Tata Negara or National Civics Bureau program. Now, if you recall, that was abolished during the Pakatan Harapan's time, basically because it was accused of spreading racism and political propaganda. Deputy Minister Wan Faisal said there were no plans to reinstate the BTN. The government is using more comprehensive ways to instill patriotism, such as focusing on the Rukun Negara.
Yang bermakmur pun maklum, selepas kerajaan Pakatan Harapan mentadbir, Biro Tata Negara telah dibawa masuk ke dalam Kementerian Belia dan Sukan dan telah dimansuhkan dari segi namanya. Dan kita sudah tambah baik dari segi patriotisme yang lebih menyeluruh melalui Sekolah Rukun Negara dan pelbagai aktiviti-aktiviti kepimpinan yang sebenarnya Yang Muhammad Muaz sendiri telah menerajuinya sebelum ini. Jadi sebenarnya tidak ada sebarang cadangan di peringkat kerajaan buat masa ini.
So you just heard Deputy National Unity Minister Wan Ahmad Faisal. I'm sorry for that pause. I was processing the clip because I think that I'd love to know more details of When we say focusing on the Rukun Negara, we've been doing that since the Rukun Negara was created. I mean, it's always been a mainstay of schools and classrooms and the like. And I definitely see the value in focusing on it, especially at a school level. But then when we say that we're doing it in a more comprehensive way, what exactly does that mean?
And I always get a little bit hesitant when people talk about teaching patriotism or instilling patriotism, because so often it gets conflated with the people who are currently in government. And those two are not the same thing. Loyalty to your country does not automatically mean you have to be loyal to the government of the day or support the government of the day. And that is my problem with having politicians in charge of this concept of teaching or instilling patriotic values.
Yeah, so that circled this idea of two things: the National Civics Bureau program, which is no longer enacted, but also the idea of whether we need a Race Relations Act, all of which to say, what does patriotism mean to you? And do you think that it is the government's role to create more unity in the country? How should they be going about that? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So next up, Sepanggar MP Datuk Mohamad Aziz Jaman asked a question about youth unemployment in Sabah. Deputy Human Resources Minister Datuk Awang Hashim replied that more than 2,600 youths from the state have lost their jobs this year, while around 5,000 individuals have been redeployed in jobs. So according to him, the current rate of unemployment among Sabah youths is at 17%.
Kes kehilangan pekerjaan bagi negeri Sabah dari 1 Januari sehingga 5 November 2021 adalah sebanyak 2,667 orang. Jadi jumlah penempatan semula bagi negeri Sabah dari 1 Januari sehingga 5 November 2021 adalah 5,071 orang. Kita sangat prihatin dan serius, terutamanya bukan saja masyarakat Sabah dan juga golongan belia di seluruh Malaysia.
We're hearing quite a bit from him today. That was Deputy Human Resource Minister Dato' Awang Hashim. He also said that reskilling and upskilling programs are in place, such as the National Dual Training System that involves collaborating with industries. He advised job seekers to utilize the government's employment service on the My Future Jobs portal.
So later on, we're actually going to be breaking down a survey which found that over 70% of young employees are considering leaving Malaysia for better opportunities. So stay tuned for that. And now we are moving on to today's wind-up session for Budget 2022.
And one of the ministers to give their speech today was Communications and Multimedia Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa. And during his speech, MUA MP Syed Saddiq asked if Digital National Berhad would be holding a special briefing with MPs to explain in detail the planned 5G rollout. So this comes, of course, as reports state that local telco companies have thus far refused to use Putrajaya's 5G network, basically due to transparency and pricing concerns.
And in essence, the minister replied that he has instructed DNB to hold engagement sessions with all MPs for transparency.
Saya suka memaklumkan pada Dewan yang mulia ini, dalam pertemuan mereka dengan saya baru-baru ini, kira-kira seminggu yang lalu, saya telah membuat arahan yang khusus supaya DNB membuat engagement dengan ahli-ahli parlimen. Dan saya akan menyusuli perkara ini kerana memang mereka diminta untuk membuat penjelasan yang terperinci kepada yang berhormat ahli-ahli parlimen, kerajaan backbenchers dan juga pembangkang juga. Kerana saya merasakan isu ini hendaklah dilakukan dan diuruskan secara transparan, dan DNB bertanggungjawab untuk membuat penjelasan tentang segala langkah-langkah yang sedang mereka ambil. InsyaAllah, itu saya akan cuba aturkan dengan seberapa segera.
So that was Communications and Multimedia Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa. He also mentioned that more details will be revealed by the Finance Minister in Parliament tomorrow. So we will be bringing you those updates.
And that's all we have for Popit Popit Parliament today. Let us know if you'd like to weigh in on any of the topics we covered. We discussed salaries for the police force. It starts at 1,200 odd for junior officers, basically, and we were asking you, do you think that's enough? We also talked about SOCSO coverage for delivery riders and whether that disincentivizes the companies from taking better care of them. We discussed youth and unemployment, as well as national unity and the 5G rollout. If you'd like to weigh in, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.